I'm going to call this meeting to order, please. This is the joint work session of the Mayor and Council and the iBisbee Committee of the City of Bisbee, County of Cochise, State of Arizona, to be held on Tuesday, February 28, 2017, at 5:30 p.m. in the Bisbee Municipal Building, 118 Arizona Street, Bisbee, Arizona. Ms. Coronado, would you please call the roll of the council as well as iBisbee?
Yes, sir. Councilmember Anna Klein?
Here.
Councilmember Joan Hansen?
Here.
Councilmember Frank Davis?
Here.
Mayor David Smith?
Here.
Councilmember Bill Higgins?
Here.
Councilmember Gabe Lindstrom?
Here.
Councilmember Douglas Dunn is excused. iBisbee Committee, Cynthia Conroy?
Here.
Kathy Souden?
Here.
Carrie Gustafson?
Here.
Fred Miller?
Here.
City staff, Richard Marsh, City Manager, Ashley Coronado, City Clerk, Britt Hansen, City Attorney.
And I might add that Stanley Stern, the chair of iBisbee, is unfortunately under the weather with a flu all of a sudden as of this afternoon. So he likewise would be excused. I want to thank everybody for being here. the order of business is that we will be having a presentation by Freeport Mac Moran. We will then take questions from the council. We will then take questions from iBisbee, and we will then have public statements. We want to limit those statements, as in the past, to 3 minutes and not to be repetitive. And with that, if we could, Mr. Quintanar, would you kindly introduce our guests?
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Mayor and Council. I'm Robert Quintanar. I'm the manager of the Freeport Mac Moran's operations here in Bisbee and in Douglas. Also with me today is Joe Bruner. He's the director of discontinued operations for Freeport. Mr. Charles Landry is an outside counsel and an expert on 501c3 organizations. And Mr. David Wallace, also outside counsel.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Quintanar. And the floor is yours.
Well, thank you very much. We're here today to talk to you about the path forward for the Queen Mine Tour. I think everyone is pretty well aware that the Queen Mine Tour Tunnel is part of the underground workings here in Bisbee. When mining ceased in 1975, the company leased the tour tunnel to the city to try to attract tourists to the area so that they could hopefully spend some money in the shops, in their restaurants, and in their hotels. I think it's been pretty successful. I think we all share common objective of maintaining a safe environment for our workers and all of our visitors. We want to see the enterprise be successful economically in the long term. also, what a great opportunity to provide educational history of mining in the area. And so we're going to propose a method to do all of those things, as well as provide an opportunity for more community involvement. I learned recently from Councilwoman Klein that her father and brother, and from Councilman Lindstrom, that his wife's grandfather were some of the original members of that made the Queen Mime Tour a success in the late 70s. Councilman Klein, if I can borrow some of your words, she said their families have sweat equity in that tour. Of course, with Doug Graham, the mine manager, his family, all the two ladies in the gift shop, and all of the tour guides who offer that great personal experience that make the mine tour so successful and so enjoyable. I want to go over some of the projects that we've undertaken in the last few years to help with that health and safety environment. Since about 2013, we've gone in and we have installed some steel support beams. We've improved the electrical system, and we've constructed a number of bulkheads inside the tour. We also addressed a large sinkhole that formed in the parking lot. We installed a ventilation system and installed monitors in the tour to monitor the effectiveness of the ventilation system. And we've also improved emergency exits and the signage. And that's that top line that you see here. So all of these things that we've done recently came at a cost of a little over $400,000. During that time, we also hired a third-party consultant to monitor the results of the ventilation system, make sure that the monitors that we had installed were working properly. And that came at a cost of about $170,000. We've also been paying the power for that ventilation system that we've installed. That's about $2,000 a month. And then our time, all the gentlemen here, myself, a number of other experts, our time to research, implement, and manage the project. So it's about $80,000 there. For a total of over $700,000in the last 7 years. Here's some examples of those projects. This is the 50-horsepower fan that we installed. Part of that installation included installing a new steel power pole, a new transformer, running about 1,500 feet of insulated wire through the tour to power the tour tunnel. here's over on the upper right is the sinkhole that started to develop in the parking lot. we addressed that by over-excavating that collapsed structure to about a depth of 15 feet. We then placed an 80-ton, 2-foot-thick, 30 by 40 slab of concrete embedded with a double steel cage made out of 1-inch rebar. So, and then on top of that, we replaced the fill and 1-foot lift, compacted it, and then put it 4 inches of asphalt on top of that. Andy has since gone in and repaved the entire parking lot to make it look consistent. This is an example. It's kind of dark, but it's an example of the tunnel, the escapeway tunnel. What we did in here was, first of all, remove a lot of this loose rock from the sides and the top. We then squared it off. We installed these steel beams, bolted them together, and placed them on 8-foot centers and then in between those, put in 2-inch thick, 12-inch by 8-foot long timbers lagging. In this area, this was a vertical tunnel or raise that went up from this part of the tunnel to additional workings up above. So here we placed timbers and lagging across that opening, and then placed steel beams underneath for added support. Here are a few examples of the new electrical, the upgraded electrical system. So some of the comments that I've heard have been one of the ways forward is to deed the Queen Mine Tour or tunnels over to the city so that they can operate it. So let's examine that a little bit. On the positive side, the city would have complete control and oversight. There's some income that's generated that goes into the general budget. Those are for services that are provided, like finance and advertisement, things like that. And you get to foster tourism and education. So on the not-so-positive side, you know, providing services like police and fire protection, garbage pickup, sewer and water are the city's mandate. Maybe not so much the running the tourism attraction. Also, you know, it's expensive to maintain that infrastructure. And if you don't maintain the infrastructure, then it's going to lead to increased liability. And as illustrated in that previous slide, some of those expenditures can be pretty costly. There's always that unforeseen risk. You know, you don't know what we don't know. And on top of that, the city would be on the hook for those kind of expenses. So with that, I will turn it over to Mr. Landry, who will explain a different approach.
Thank you, good afternoon. I'm very, very pleased to be here. This is my third trip, and my first trip, unfortunately, was a result of the suspension of the tour because of some of these issues that Robert was addressing that have now been fixed at Freeport's expense. And I was asked, I do development work all over the country and represent a number of not-for-profits and national not-for-profits. And when I was asked to look at this, the first thing that came to mind is this is screaming out for a different structure that can take all the good work that the city has done over the last 3-4 decades, leverage off of that, and build into a new generation for the tour. So very, very generally, we're talking about two additional steps. Right now, we would continue with the city's operation of the mine. But the first transition step would be to form a foundation, a 501c3, and by the way, I understand the clerk is going to provide you all the copies of all this, so you don't have to worry about copious notes. I went to an all-boys Catholic school, and they punish you when you got ahead. So I knew people would be kind of flipping through, so I just asked to let's have some time to go through it and then give you copies, and we certainly want to answer any question that you have. But the first step would be to form a 501c3. We'll talk about that in a little more depth. And the transition, the operations from the city over a period of time, 2-3 years, where we would move from the city's operation into operation by the foundation. And then after a period of time, when there's safe and successful operations by the foundation. After the baton has been given entirely to the foundation, Freeport would deed ownership of the mine property to the foundation, and they would go on from there. Why foundation? The reason why is simple. It's more conventional. It's more of what you see throughout the country. I dare say y'all are probably, didn't research it, the only city in the country running a mine tour. This isn't what cities do, as Robert said. Typically, these types of activities are handled by a foundation or a for-profit operation, which obviously would not be appropriate here. This truly is, and we hear it all the time, a public-private partnership. What we're proposing is a very, very collaborative effort where the city government, and we're going to expand what government means in the context of what we're proposing, a private foundation, the new foundation, the private sector, Freeport and others, as well as other not-for-profits in the Bisbee area and broader that would have a very, very collaborative effort to leverage off of what has already been accomplished to raise the bar for the tour in the future. What this does that is really not available to the city now is to be able to attract private funds as well as other public funds that are more likely to give to a foundation as opposed to giving to a city. There aren't very many people that want to write a check, with all due respect, to a public body and say, would you do something good with it for this particular activity? But that happens every day for private foundations. So with this structure, we will have a private foundation. It's community-centric. That would be the vehicle for private funding, not just Freeport, but others. We'll get into that, as well as other public funding. It greatly improves the likelihood of success in the future. You guys have a lot on your plate, all of you. The tour is certainly something that you all want to protect. We understand it. Our interests are totally aligned. But it's so much better to have a separate board that's function is solely the success of that tour, where that is their function, that's all they're going to be doing, as opposed to all the challenges that you as a community has. You have more oversight with this foundation. You're going to have a board that hopefully is a blue ribbon quality board that's really going to dig in, spend their valuable time in making sure that money is handled properly, that there's some efficiencies to move this thing along. It provides the opportunity for creative marketing. Now, it can be very collaborative with the Chamber of Commerce and iBusby and what other organizations. We want all of this to work together, but the foundation will have a much better opportunity to focus its marketing efforts and promotion efforts on the tour. It minimizes to the point of removing the city after the transition of operations from liability. And that liability, that risk, is now on the shoulders of the foundation. And obviously, the city can continue to be involved with representation on the board and other matters that I'll go through. There are a number of examples in Arizona of this exact structure. The Arizona Aerospace Foundation is running four or five museums that's owned by a foundation. They're running. There's many others, I won't go through the list, that are examples of, not specifically on all four with a mine tour, but the same concept. They're trying to develop an educational resource, economic development, tourism, and the like. Those are happening throughout the state. But I was happy to find two perfect examples for you of mine tours that are owned and are run by a foundation. In the case of the World Museum of Mining, they have been owned by a not-for-profit since 1964. Yeah, anyway, they have 22 acres, thank you so much, that they own, and they've been operating. This is so interesting because this is off their website. One of the few museums in the world located on an actual mine yard. Well, no, it's, you know, you've got that story. This could be part of your story. And that they're going to the point where they have memberships, which I'll discuss. And the membership, people pay dues, different levels of dues, corporate versus individual. And they have different opportunities within the mine for their members. In this case, members only to 100-foot level. And I just pulled that off. There were all kinds of different benefits for different types of memberships. The Reno County Historical Society was very much like what is happening here. The mine was in disrepair. They were getting ready to shut it down. And so the Historic Society went and got it by donation, acquired it, and they're running a salt museum. And you know, one of the things that they do with their membership is Murder in the Mine interactive dinner. Now, obviously, we don't want any murders in fact, but the point I'm trying to make is the creativity that can be brought into this process by using a private foundation and the initiatives and resources that it has. So we're proposing creating a foundation, and the mission is pretty straightforward. The mission of the foundation is the long-term preservation, operation, and maintenance of the historic Queen Mine Tour for the benefit of all citizens of Bisbee and the state of Arizona. Why do we want to expand it to the state of Arizona? There's a very rich mining history, obviously, in Arizona, and there are other resources beyond just Bisbee that this foundation can tap into, because the mission is not just Bisbee, but the state. Broaden it, make it far more inclusive. Freeport will provide initial funding to secure the tax-exempt status for the foundation. It will handle all that paperwork. The foundation will develop bylaws. They'll have board meetings. They'll establish committees consistent with the bylaws. The board will have D&O insurance, the typical types of things. I'm sure virtually every one of you have worked with a foundation or some not-for-profit, and so you know generally what we're talking about. In terms of governance, this is a point I really want to try to make, is that this should be a board that is focused on the success of the mine. We're proposing having people on this board that have resources, experience, expertise, or, in the case of a representative of the city and the council, the community, as well as a community representative or two, that this is a working board. This is not a Senate where people are on it representing folks. The idea is that this board would be hardworking. They're going to commit their time to make this a success. Now, someone could say, well, Charles, you know, only 7-9 members of the board, that's not enough. You know, we want more people. Where you get more people is with the committee structure. What is very, very important in all of this is that there are going to be a number of working committees that can be populated by other people. For example, you want a marketing committee. You want a group of people that you'd have a board member or two on, but you pull in other folks from the community with the support of the consultant that Freeport is prepared to hire to in effect staff that committee. And you could have people from the chamber, people from other organizations working on that committee. You're going to want an audit committee. If there's a retired banker, let's say, or somebody who would like to help with this, doesn't want to necessarily be on the board or should be on the board, you can plug those people into the committee structure, which is going to be very, very important in the startup period. And you know, critical, because there's going to be so much work to do to get this foundation up and running to the point that Freeport has comfort that it's prepared to allow the transition of operation to the foundation. Until that happens, it's going to stay with the city. So getting this foundation up and running is mission critical. There is no rush. It's going to be done right. We don't want to have more liability than we have now because the foundation is not ready to take these operations over. There'll be training wheels on it for a long period of time before the full transition would happen. And we're envisioning for our transition to have the mayor be the initial board chair to just kick this off. As I mentioned, membership. This is going to be very important. I know there are people throughout the community, blood, sweat, and tear. You know, I'm invested. My family's invested. I'm sorry to be so direct. Then become a member. Write a check. It can be a small check. In some cases, it could be a big check, banks, some other people. Let's have a broader support of the tour than just having it on the back of the city or Freeport. Have others involved. And membership could extend beyond Bisbee. As I said before, we're trying to broaden the focus of this to the state of Arizona so we could pursue membership outside of Bisbee with other companies that may have an interest in supporting you. We would start the fundraising efforts almost immediately just to kind of get those underway with the support of a public relations firm that Freeport is prepared to hire and fund. As I mentioned, there's kind of the pre-foundation period where we're going to go in and get this thing organized. We're going to go to the IRS and get a determination letter that it's truly a 501c3. Nobody's going to write a big check until that happens. We will start the organizational process in terms of who should be on this board and approach these people and make them understand this is not a vanity position. You know, as you grow up, you want to be on the chamber board because you want to rub elbows with the other successful people because you think it's going to do something for you. And then you rub elbows a little bit better, and then you're going to be on the statewide board, and it really does great things for your resume. This will do nothing for the resume of the board. What it'll do is for the citizens of Bisbee to have a great tour because people were willing to commit what all of us have the least of, and that's time to really dig in. And again, at the committee level is where the real work is going to happen. Then Freeport will work with the board, finance this, to develop a true business plan, a financial model that this thing is going to work or not. We could go through, I want to make this clear, we could go through all of this, have a wonderful meeting here. Council says that they like this idea. We could be a year from now, and maybe with you know, our tails tucked up below, coming back and saying the business model doesn't work. That could happen. But we're going to make sure that we do everything we can do to create an environment and a structure where you're going to be successful with this. Then we have the startup period where the foundation is being trained. They have a staff. They've got insurance. They've got technical support. Again, Freeport paying it. They're utilizing the public relations firm. They start implementing their plan. They start fundraising. And then we get to the point where, again, Freeport would make important, this is a slide, very important, Freeport will make annual contributions for the business plan, the independent audit, the operation requirements, get independent inspections of the tour, making sure that everything is complied with law. We are all totally aligned here. We want this done as well as possible. And so Freeport has the same amount of skin in the game as the city does, that it wants to make sure all of this is done right, and they're prepared to pay for it. And only when that happens will there's a demonstration of capability that the foundation can do this, that there's a transition of operations only to the foundation. That will go on for a period of time where Freeport and the city, everyone, how's it working? Are people doing what they are supposed to be doing? Are the inspections working out? Are the staff trained? Do we have any issues that we weren't aware of? Only after we collectively believe that the foundation is prepared to take over the operations and they have done it for a period of time that Freeport is comfortable with, Freeport will then transfer ownership to the foundation, and the foundation will go forward with operating the plan. Robert, you want to finish, or Joe?
Joe? I got the easy part of the last slide. just to wrap up, first, thank you, Mayor Smith and the council for your time and letting us make this presentation. Just to summarize, we really have three mutual goals, I believe, in the Queen Mine tour. First and foremost is safety. If we can't ensure a safe environment, then we ought not to be doing this at all. But together we can make that happen. Along with that, we will go economic stability and the tourism and education aspects, which are very important to all of us. The foundation approach that Mr. Landry rolled out to you this evening, we believe is a viable mechanism that will make all of these things a reality. And coming from Freeport's corporate office, I can assure you that we're committed to working with you all to make this a reality, and we look forward to the next steps in the process. So with that, I'll turn it to you.
Thank you, Mr. Bruner. And thank you all very much. And I have, when this came up as an agenda item, and certainly prior to this, I personally received a number of phone calls, and as have other members. And so I just wanted to just make a couple quick comments before I turn it over to questions from the council. First of all, there's a misconception somehow, some way, that this mine tour belongs to the city. And of course it doesn't belong to the city, it belongs to Freeport. And Freeport has leased it to the city for a large number of years. Quite frankly, the last many years without a lease. Another misconception. So the bottom line is, I hate to say it with these gentlemen here, but Freeport could pick up their ball and take it home if they wanted to. So we need to understand also, or I would like people to understand also, that this isn't a money-making operation for the city, that this is actually revenue neutral for the city. This is an enterprise fund. And so our general fund that we talk about and the problems that we're having financially as a city, that's our general fund. This is an enterprise fund, and it basically runs itself. There's some money that's taken out of this enterprise fund and is transferred to the city or departments within the city for functions that they perform in the running of this enterprise, such as finance. A certain amount of money is taken out, depending on how much work finance does. It depends on how much money is taken out. Another is the visitor center is partially financed by this through the bed tax. And so $16,000 is taken out of this enterprise fund and is transferred to the general fund to pay for the visitor center. But in reality, when this is in fact enacted, many of those things are up for the negotiation when we're talking about forming this foundation, such as the foundation's going to need advertising. And so the city has the ability to provide that advertising and to charge the foundation for that advertising, you see. Something that a lot of people don't realize, the building up there, that belongs to the city. The Queen Mine Tour, as a foundation, will have to be run out of that building, so there's a good opportunity for that foundation to have to pay the city a certain amount of money for the use of that building. So this is, in fact, revenue neutral to us. And I see Doug, and I can't help but need to also get across the fact that we have three employees, and it's very important to the city that those employees be taken care of, and nothing could be further from our minds but the fact that those employees will be taken care of. Doug will remain a city employee, and he will get his retirement. And there's ways to do that that we can discuss with the foundation as far as Doug, them hiring our employees, the foundation hiring our employees as consultants to the foundation, and there's many things that can be done. So I just wanted to erase some of those immediate worries that some people have, because some of those have been thought of. There may be more to come. But there's none of these that cause a problem that I think that hasn't been examined and looked at this particular point. So with that, I will let the council. Ms. Klein, do you have any questions?
Not at this moment.
Okay. Mr. Davis?
Nothing at this time.
All right, sir.
Good presentation.
Mr. Lindstrom?
Not at the moment. I got a lot of it from last week.
Okay, and you got that taken care of. Okay. Ms. Conroy?
Basically, you answered my question when I said to myself, is it this proposal for closing the enterprise, as has been rumored on numerous occasions in the number of years I've lived here, first probably rumored when there was that person that was killed in the mine tour and became a multi-million-dollar suit back when PD owned it. And it seemed like it was going to close, and the city and the mine company eventually over time came. Or when the poison air, and we had a city manager announce to the whole world that the mine tour was in fact closed, and I still get calls from people in the Phoenix Scottsdale area, where he happened to be at the time, who believe that the Queen Mine Tour isn't even open. So I believe a lot of people have met on this with much more far-ranging entrepreneurial and corporate concerns, and so at this time, the only thing I wonder is the same thing that you also answered in your presentation, and that is, given that this will happen over a five-year period, if at any time it doesn't work, well, then one of two things will happen. We'll either close it then versus now, or it'll succeed. It's real relatively
Thank
simple,
you.
And I do run a small nonprofit that's 28 years old. And we've asked ourselves that question many times. Will it operate next year or not?
Thank you. I didn't, in my comments, I didn't want nor mean to imply that Freeport had indicated that it was their way or their highway. They're not holding a gun to our head and saying, do this or we're closing this down. That hasn't even come up in the conversation. So I apologize if my comments were taken any other way than that. Ms. Souden?
The only question I had, and I think you kind of answered it with respect to the rent for the building, is my concern would be that we would need accounting services and all of that, so the city could sell back those services so they would benefit from the economy of scale of already having those people in place. Is that right?
That would certainly be a possibility. That would be something for the formation board, if you will, to discuss and talk about. And it may be like anything else. It could be that they decide that, hey, the city has this. Let's try that for a while, but down the road find out there's a better way, a more efficient way, a less expensive way or whatever. So that being a private, that being a non-profit foundation, they would eventually govern themselves and could actually do whatever they want, other than, as I indicated, we're going to absolutely make sure that our employees are taken care of. Ms. Gustafson?
It's a math question.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I'm not the radon sinkhole escapeway, what was the number, sort of the rounded off number on repair of those major issues?
$443,000.
Okay. It seems to me, just looking at the three-year numbers from the Clean Money Tour, they're not anywhere near that kind of income to deal with big issues like this that come up. How is that going to be handled?
Well,
first of all, yeah. We think we've done a lot of good work that should last a long time. The issue here is going to be more operation and maintenance. But that is the biggest risk for the city, and it'll be the biggest risk for the foundation. But who is better positioned to address an unforeseen situation? It's certainly not the city. It would be very, very difficult to say, Mayor, just this does not sound like a threat. I'm going to stop garbage collection so that we can deal with the tour. It's not going to be a politically feasible thing to say that there's a catastrophic problem, that we're going to divert money from core services of the city to fix it. The foundation is in a better position to say, we've got to go raise $250,000.
Now,
they'll be in a much better position to go out and raise it. And there is going to always be substantial inherent risk in operating this tour. That's why you unfortunately see a bunch of guys with suits on. We're here to mitigate. We're trying to come up with a structure that is best positioned to address risk in the future. And we believe this is it, as opposed to the city kind of going on. I mean, to talk about that revenue neutral, but for the support of Freeport to the tune of $735,000 over the last 5 years, can you only imagine what that had done? And that's why Freeport is in no rush to push this over to the foundation. It only wants to do that when the foundation is ready and there's a plan and we all think it's going to work. And they're prepared to spend the money to do all this research and put all the right people together to make that happen.
So I was just looking, $700,000, you as owners of the property invested in that. The city was operating it. And I totally understand divesting both entities of the liability and putting it into a foundation. But I'm just concerned about the scale of these large things that happen and the ability of a nonprofit foundation to say, okay, let's just go out and raise, $400,000 or $500,000 to fix this issue. And right now, you all have been doing it as owners.
Well, remember, when the big problem came up, the tour was shut down.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't need to fix anything. The fix was leave it alone. This is naturally occurring. The only reason you wanted to fix any of this is because the city wanted a tour.
Mm-hmm.
So Freeport, wanting to continue to support the city, made this investment to fix it. And we're hoping, Robert's the guy to ask, that this is a fix for a long time, and hopefully it's for years and decades, but who knows? But where would you rather have the risk, on the city side or the foundation, who's going to have a lot more resources to address a problem? But as I said before, if something catastrophic happens, it just happens, and we all have to address it then. But this is a better platform to go forward.
Thank you.
Yeah, unfortunately, a number of things could happen. I mean, God forbid there could be an earthquake with a huge cave in and then would be assessed, and you go, you know what, this is so expensive, and this can't be, it's not feasible to go ahead, and so the foundation's dissolved. I mean, you know, that things could happen, and so this is a liability limiting situation, as you know. Mr. Miller.
Yeah, I have a couple questions and a comment. One is that one of the problems when you switch over from an operation that the city is doing to an operation that the foundation is going to do is, I think it's called a crossover. If you don't have some money in the bank when that happens, in case tourism drops or something like that, then that's a problem right off the get-go for the foundation. So I would like you folks to at least consider endowing the foundation for 100 to 200 grand, in addition to what you presented in your PowerPoint. And the reason for that is, not only in Bisbee, but other places that I've been, you take a look at a business, and I'm in the restaurant business, and I've seen people, because they're good cooks, they're going to open up the restaurant, and they're going to have their friends in and stuff like that. So they get their restaurant open, but they have no pockets. And so the restaurant closes within a year because there's no operating capital for that exigency of operations before all the money starts flowing in. So that's one consideration that is, for me, is really important about this process. I support your proposal. I think it's a very generous proposal from Freeport. You don't have to do it, obviously. You can just close the mine or tell the city to close the mine. Another thing I'm concerned about is the insurance liability. Our chair, unfortunately, is not here. He does know a few insurance people from his previous life as a, international financier.
Financial facilitator.
So that is one consideration. I think as I read this, the insurance now is, it's a rider on the city's insurance. I'm not sure. It is not. How is it insured?
It's through Great Divide. It's its own insurance.
It's its own insurance that the city pays for. So we're paying $30,000 a year.
About 40
a year. Okay. I would like to see a timeline laid out. And I understand this is not the meeting to do that, but there we need to do some kind of planning, and so that there's some goals set that we can meet those goals. And such like that. I think the insurance company was the most important thing for me. I think that's it for me.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Budger, you're signed up, sir.
Thank you, Council, for giving us a chance from the public to speak to this. A couple of things real quickly. My history has been on the City Council for almost over 7 years. I think about some history of this and what brought me to Bisbee. I have long dealings with mine because I work for IMCO and I helped to design and redesign mining equipment and rocker shovels all the way back. So, you know, I really do enjoy mining and the historic part of Bisbee. So there's two main things I want to address. One is the budgetary issues to the city. One is the $47,000 that funds the general fund every year from the operation of the mine tour. You know, $25,000 funds our finance department. We fund our attorney's office, comes out of this general, to a tune of close to $50,000. Then on top of that, the mine also funds $16,000 into the other enterprise fund, which is our advertisement fund for the general advertising of all of Bisbee. And then the mine itself gives another $32,000 toward advertising for the mine. So you add all that up, it's almost $100,000 a year hit to the city of Bisbee. Now, I know there's a lot of talk that we can shift a lot of this over to the city to do, but here's I'm kind of a public guy. I'm not. You guys all come from the private, and I understand that, and that's a different point of view. But when the public's involved and something's going to happen, then there's public hearings like this. There's people that get their input and so on. But when it's all turned over to a foundation or private, there's no open meeting laws. There's no decisions made by the public, just by seven people within the public to decide, well, who do we hire to do our finance? Well, I have a cousin that is a good friend of mine that will do a less than $25,000 that the city's doing, so that goes away from the city. And we don't want to advertise with the city anymore because we can get a bigger bang for our buck. I mean, if I was on the board of directors, I would have to do that because that would be my mandate as a board of directors for this foundation. So we have to look at that, just daily, yearly operations and what it means to the city. The final thing is in those 7 years, and I don't want to go my 3 minutes, but I know I approved hundreds of thousands of dollars in improvement that we ourselves have put in the mine, one of which was the electrical. We actually sold you water that was then used our water for reclamation, which was then went to pay for the electricity. So I think that's a give and take. That came back and forth. I approved mine wheels for $10,000 because they have to be handmade, $52,000 for the electric locomotive to pull people in. I mean, I've seen the big timbers that have been dropped off. You guys donated those, I know. But I think the city itself has close to $1 million invested in the mine itself. So it's hard for me as a public person here, as one of the public, to walk away from $1 million investment that we've put into something. And that's, I think, part of the negotiations that this needs to look at. So I guess my final comment would only be that what is the purpose? For over 40 years, it has been part of the draw at the BISBE. I know the iBISBE committee did this whole rebranding of the, and we're hip and we're new and we're young and we're not about old and mining anymore.
Can we start wrapping it up,
sir? I think that's something that we really need to keep within the city and keep that going. Thanks, Mayor.
Thank you, sir. Let me just mention just a couple things that were brought up, if I might. Surely, absolutely. You mentioned legal services as an example. They don't pay money into our legal services. Our legal services are charged to that fund when it has something to do with the mine. So in 3 year period, there were only 2 years in which there was any outlay to legal services, and that was because we needed lawyers to specifically do something in reference to the mine. And so I just wanted to indicate that if we're not making, again, this is revenue neutral because we're charging work that city employees are doing on behalf of the mine tour to the enterprise fund. If the city is not doing any of that work in the future, there won't be any charges, and therefore the city won't be receiving any funding because they won't be doing any work. So I just wanted to make sure that we were clear on that. Mr. Miller, please.
Before they, if this goes through and there is a handover and stuff, is Freeport committed to doing a full inspection, a full mine inspection, very complete? I mean, I know that goes on now. I don't know the extent. I don't know enough about it to know how extensive mine inspections are. But that would have to be, because if it's being turned over to the foundation, the foundation needs to know exactly what condition the mine tool is in, and all the equipment and stuff like that. Is that something that...
Part of the rationale, Mr. Miller, in doing all of the improvements that Robert sure. highlighted was to be in a position to ultimately turn this over to the foundation in, you know, top-notch shape. Mm-hmm. You know, recognizing now that there's, you know, a couple years have passed, or, you know, a couple years will continue to pass until that transition happens. Yeah, we will go in and redo the inspection, and to the extent that there's any improvements that are necessary, we'll make them happen.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons, if you recall, the board members, we really want people on that going to be very important to help other board members understand what's going on before they take over. That's extremely important to us.
In that PowerPoint, you mentioned a consultant or a third party to help with the publicity for the transition. Are you talking about doing a third party doing marketing in terms of this, or just informing the public of the process that's been ongoing to transfer the mine from the city?
Well, there probably is a little of that, of course. Uh-huh. We have to sell this internally before we can sell it externally. Unless the community is behind this, mm-hmm. it'll fail. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't, you know, like has gotten calls from Phoenix about problems. You know, if people in Bisbee saying, oh, this is a joke, and all that's going to do is damage the brand we're trying to create. So certainly some part of that will be the process of getting this up to speed. But more importantly, the business plan, a huge component of the business plan is the feasibility of this. You know, can this work financially? Can we elevate the number of people that go through the mine or get the pricing right? Please don't take this as a, you know, we're going to, you know, increase the price. It may need to go down. But my point is that there needs to be a very thorough business plan that the feasibility of this is at the core, but it's only feasible if you can market this and you can brand it in a way that more people are attracted, that there are more things of interest. You have the special events and you know, do some things to raise money. And so that's mission one.
Anything else, I Bisbee? Anything else, Council?
Not this time.
No? Hearing that, I would entertain a motion.
How are things going to proceed from here?
We will be getting back together. This we'll be discussing, since this is a work session where we can't vote, but we will be getting together. I would suggest perhaps that we have a couple people from iBisbee get together and we can discuss. This is coming forward on the 20th. Is it the next?
21st?
I think it's the 21st, but I may be wrong.
I'm almost positive.
Yeah, I believe it's the agenda for the 21st.
21st.
And basically what the discussion will be, Mr. Miller, is the willingness of the wish of the council to actually step forward into this plan and get together with FMI and start discussing how we get this committee together and then start negotiating different things for the actual turnover and just things like how many people are going to be on the interim board and this kind of thing. So that's how I intend to proceed with that, and we certainly want iBisbee to stay a part of that as a resource to the council. Okay. And did that answer your question?
It certainly did.
Excellent. All right, sir.
I move that we adjourn.
Second.
Oh, wait, we have a motion and a second to adjourn. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? We stand adjourned.